morning, everybody. We're going to be dealing with the adoption of outstanding minutes as well as the negotiating mandates on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. So, I think our meeting won't be long. I have received only 3 apologies. I think it's an apology from Honorable Mashile. He's writing exams today. He will join us tomorrow. Honorable Memela, she's unable to be here. She's got other engagements in KZN, as well as Honorable M.M. Zulu. He's attending an ad hoc committee on Code of Judicial Conduct and regulation on judges. Disclosure. So those are the 3 apologies I have received thus far. Any reflection on those? Agreed? Thank you very much. We've got only 3 sets of minutes on our members before us. That needs to be adopted. The first set of minutes is the minute of the 19th of October. Which is just the recordings of the proceedings when we are adopting some of the other important and minutes. I'm on page 1 for comments and corrections.
Minutes of the 19th?
Yeah, 19th of October. I'm on page 1. And page 3. There be no comments or correction. May I get the mover and the second of the minutes? Honorable Makubele, Honorable Duer. Thank you very much. Then the next set of minutes is the minutes of the 26th of October. I'm on page 1. Page 2. And page 3. In the absence of any corrections, may I get the mover and the seconder? Honorable Makubele, move. Seconded by Honorable Jekka. Thank you. The last set is the minutes of the 9th of November. was last week's meeting. Welcome, Honorable Bloom.
Thank you.
Minutes, we are on page 2. And page 3. In the absence of any correction, may I get the mover and the seconder? Honorable DJ moves, Honorable DJ second. Thank you very much, Honorable members. We are up to date with our minutes. The next item on the agenda is the negotiating mandate from provinces. We have all provinces have submitted their negotiating mandates. I will just follow, call them according to how they have been tabled. We'll start first with Free State. Free State, yes. Honorable Bloom, you will, for the record, present the Free State mandate.
Yeah, can you pass the I will come back.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Western Cape. Okay. The Western Cape support the bill. Thank you, Western Cape. Mpumalanga, may I request the Honorable Dibia to present the Mpumalanga one, because there's no one from
Mpumalanga. Chairperson, yes, that's me. I've got 2 points on the, what the committee emphasized, allocations of the health infrastructure grant, and they've also made recommendations. Was of the legislator, portfolio committee on the legislator oversight, premise also on finance, after considering the bill, supports the division of revenue bill and confers the permanent delegate to a vote in favor of the bill. But I think it must be captured what are their concerns and the proposals in the negotiating mandate.
Yeah, Honourable Members, I think on Mpumalanga we can discuss the points that they are raising there. The first 2 points that the committee emphasized are issues for consideration moving forward in terms of allocation on health infrastructure grants. And then the second one is the grant on the disasters. Mpumalanga is a problem of fire, flooding, and must be included in agriculture policy and official grant to release former. Then there are recommendations relates to regional bulk infrastructure grant. I will just read it so that we engage with it quickly. The recommendation reads as follows. Schedule 7 must be adjusted to not only reflect the bulk of the grant, namely 1.6 billion, but it must include the individual figures as per the allocation for the feasibility. Figures as per the allocation for feasibility study for each respective municipality as respected in Appendix 1 of the bill. and the bill must provide for the respective grants to be paid to the individual municipality so that they can be in position to pay upfront for the conduction of the feasibility study. And then the second one would relate to health. When the equitable share formula is revised, it should take into account all matters related to backlogs in terms of the health services, as well as the specific results to poor employment. Then the last one is just to indicate that Mpumalanga is prone to fire fires and flooding and must be included in the agriculture, forestry and fisheries grant. It would seem, according to this submission, they are not included currently, and they are requesting that clause to read, page 39 of the bill, to read agriculture, forestry and fisheries grant, to relieve farmers from the effect of flood and or other natural disasters in Northwest, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape. Yeah, is that the addition of the and or other natural disasters, and it should also cover Mpumalanga because it's not covered in that. So that is the specific amendment proposal to that section of the bill, section 39. Honorable Miss, you wanted to say something?
I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
Please accept my
apologies. No problem.
Ken, two things. The first thing is, you know, my microphone is in it, and so this meeting is not being recorded.
Yeah, using this one.
The second is, Jim, are we not considering mandate compliance? If you look at this memo from Mpumalanga, it's not from the legislature, it's from a portfolio committee of the legislature. What exactly is the mandate that we're getting here? Is it official? Is it an official mandate from the legislature at its
end? Yeah, it would seem, because it's from the Speaker's office. Remember, in terms of the mandate procedures act, mandate should come from the Office of the Speaker.
Chairman, through you to you, I'm not going to have a dialogue, but it's signed off by the chairperson of the portfolio committee, not by negotiating mandates are signed by
Final mandate to become in that.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, I see the others have waited the same way, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And I would look
very much for it to be late, but I attended my policy table. I'm in another meeting and I must go back to that meeting. But let me come to this one. I see that the delegate of the permanent delegate of Mpumalanga is not here. So there is recommendations and whatever. I don't think that we can entertain and debate those. I think that it is for that permanent delegate to convince this committee to accept that recommendation. That's my input.
Okay, that's the input of Honorable Bloom. Ms. Fanu, you wanted to come in earlier on?
Well, I wanted to give more details on the grade, that matters raised in
now, I think I hear what this committee is well constituted. It can be able to support. And that then includes the submission for the Mpumalanga. The first fact the member is not here. They shall not stop us from considering the input from the Mpumalanga at all. We are a well constituted committee and we should really go on.
Another DBM?
Chairperson, procedure means the minutes of this meeting is also forwarded after this meeting to the respective provinces. And they see what happened at this meeting. and they expect those committees to deal with the issues as captured in their report or minutes or whatever they sent to us.
Mm.
I speak of experience from the Northern Cape. So, some lessons learned in the past. Thank you.
Honourable Bloom?
Chairperson, I will read what this person on this thing will be saying. Let me read to you. And this issue that my learned friend is making here, you see, he says, and confers on the permanent delegate representing the province of Mpumalanga and the NZU the mandate to negotiate. It's not yet the mandate to negotiate.
Mm.
It's not yet. That is what Vin Fool is saying. But I will.
Yeah, Honourable Bloom, yeah, I take your point, but
I'm still on the floor.
Okay.
But let me concede, and I will condone it for today.
Boy, man.
No, thank you for that. Because I wanted also to indicate that we earlier on accepted the apology from Mpumalanga. So, but anyway, there is an issue on our members. Come up, Ms. Fanu.
Thank you. Now, I'm on my own. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll deal with three questions first. With regard to the meeting of bulk infrastructure grants, maybe I should start with explain why we've got specific types of grants. Because there's types of grants where the scheduling of grants are very important. For example, if you look at a schedule of four grants, it deals with which the grant is only partially funded. The majority of the money actually comes out of the provincial equitable field and the local budget as well to fund specific things. So that's why you've got specific infrastructure grants listed as Schedule 4. That Schedule 4 grant is used as a lever to ensure that specific expenditure takes place. So if it doesn't take place, corrective action can still be taken. If you look at Schedule 5 is a specific part of provincial grant provinces, and the same applies to Schedule 6 is the same for local government. This is where the grant largely funds the specific part of and it's mainly funded by the provincial grants. There are exporting what we call the Schedule 7 grant. The Schedule grant is where the money does not get transferred to the province or the municipality concerned. It's what we refer to as a grant in kind. We get various types of grant in kind, which makes it slightly more difficult to understand as well, because it makes it more complex. But you get a very old Schedule 7 grant where, for example, where a local department in the past provided a municipal service. And a very good example is the Department of Water Affairs put in place water schemes, and they're currently in the process of transferring those water schemes to municipalities. So it's a complex exercise because you need to do the establishment of the project, you need to get the staff transferred, and you need to deal with the building operating expenditure related to that project. So that's why you often get in these schedules that things shift between what we refer to as the Schedule 6 and the Schedule 7, because in certain cases they project it's transferred. Stocks that will be transferred, or then the national department actually undertakes the charge of expenditure. The regional bulk is also quite unique. It's also an infrastructure grant, so it's different to just a reticulation scheme. A reticulation scheme is generally where you've already got everything in place, and that's where you open the tap and you get all the water. What is then needed, and it's a very plain, and people often refer to source to tap. That means first, if you want the tap to go open and the water come out, you actually ensure that the dam is linked to what we call a regional bulk infrastructure scheme. And that is then complemented with smaller bulk infrastructure, and then the energy gets the circulation infrastructure, which there's quite a lot of that in the and serves multiple households. What the regional bulk infrastructure scheme is, it makes it very much different than normal municipal infrastructure, because it generally overarches a number of municipalities. that's for very high level roofing goes to a number of municipalities. So for efficiency reasons, and particularly the importance of having that bulk infrastructure also means for sufficient water, i.e. the dam and the like, there's quite a lot of planning that needs to go in, and it's also quite intensive in terms of size compared to smaller infrastructure that the municipalities have in place. So it makes, in this instance, it's much better for the Department of Water Care to actually take the oversight responsibility and ensure that that infrastructure is in place. So the request that the grant be paid to individual municipalities, in certain cases it could make sense, but in other cases it could not. I mean, it's not seems overarching a number of municipalities. So for that reason, it's specifically been dealt with as a Schedule 7 grant. So the effect that we transfer to municipalities is actually contrary to the intention of the grant. If it was specific to an individual municipality, right, to see why it's not looking quite a big, it would have been listed as either Schedule 4 grant, that is where a grant contributes, or Schedule 6 grant, which is specific to the for example, for smaller municipalities, the municipal infrastructure grant as the general grant is listed as a but for larger municipalities, the complementary grant, the urban settlements development grant, is Schedule 4 grant. So this is very appropriately structured as a Schedule 7 grant. And so that's just for this very nature cannot be supported. Then with regard to the request, that the allocations must include money for feasibility studies. It's a very valid request. And we will take it up to the Department of Water Affairs so that they take all the costs related to that scheme and actually link it to the specific scheme. And in future also for the trip from the 2012-13 budget onwards, then to actually include that amount as Then with regard to the health infrastructure grant, the request is made, and I see there's another request that's similar from another province, let's take into account the backlog of poor municipalities. The health infrastructure grant is a new grant that's been established in 2011-12. In the past, we had what we refer to as a general grant for provinces, the infrastructure grant for provinces, and which caters for health, education, growth and transport. And what has happened to ensure better oversight by the National Sector Department was the district. And for the time being, until each sector can actually work out their own conditions and the only allocation criteria is allocated the way it was done in the past. The infrastructure grant to provinces was allocated to the terms of the provincial equitable share formula. That was just went into conditional grant, so that's the conditions on spending to take place. If you look at the provincial equitable share formula, I mean, nature does measure poverty as well. But going forward, what the Department of Health, similar to what the Department of Transport will do, similar to what the Department of Education will do, is they will work on sector specific criteria, and as soon as they're ready, we'll then refer to some criteria to the provincial which is poverty-based, but it will be part of going forward. And then with regard to the conditional grant on disasters, just to indicate his degree that the full number of funds disasters, so if you say so, it's going to be in, so it's a number of other problems as well, wild country, funds disasters. What happens through the adjustment budget process is that it looks at disasters that happened in the past. Disasters that have been specifically declared by the Department of Provincial and Local Government at national level. Only then do you qualify for a grant in terms of that. Based on the submission that the Department of the National Disaster Management Center went to the National Treasury, the committee then considers the request and it gets approved. That's the first important point, and based on that submission that we got from the National Disaster Management Center, they did make provision for Mpumalanga. in terms of education, which they allocated 2.6 million, and then for housing, they allocated 360,000. Again, what needs to be added here is that through the government budget, the money is allocated, keeping in mind that all these projects will first be the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill must first become an act. After it becomes an act, by the president, we must put issue a bit there. So the earliest money can be released is around the middle of December. So what this amount takes into account is what a province or municipality that was affected by disaster can realistically spend between December and March. Because then after that, the new financial year starts. So what you'll often see is that this is the first allocation in terms of a disaster. Mm. And what then happens going forward, in a lot of cases, is then it just gets absorbed into the normal infrastructure grant for that sector.
Mm.
So this is not necessarily all the money that happens. So often you'll see that a disaster grant actually over-offers more than one financial year. This is what most probably happens in some of these disaster areas as well. And the more details in that report will be only released when the actual budget is presented itself submitted to the so we can provide more details then on the money that's currently there. Yeah. That's all the issues going on. Well, thank you.
So the reason why Mpumalanga could not get a attachment insofar as this disaster relating to agriculture and whatever felt fire forest is because there has not been any incidents of that were declared as disaster for that province except for those affecting school education as well as human settlement. Okay. Okay, let's reflect quickly on Honorable DPR.
Chairperson, just a practical thing. It's the 5 months, the disaster management unit is going to administrate the funds. And I was speaking on behalf of my province. The floods were there February, March, beginning of April. The farmers and the emerging farmers are still waiting. It's now mid-November. We're running into the administrative process. It will be paid out in January. I'm telling you now. The next flood is on its way. If you listen to the weather forecast experts in Bloemfontein, what's going to happen next year. Another 780-something million rand has been allocated in that document, but the first part will now be transferred. It's just the process to speed it up. To speed it up, because it's affecting all the people living along the Orange and the Waterloo River that had this flood damage. It's a practical thing that you will have to review that treasury with the other sector departments.
Any input from our members?
Chairman?
Liz?
Chairman, the National Treasury says, that's my mind about this, but in terms of 7, is there a detail of how that money is going to be spent? You can point it out the detail on those pages, for us, but is schedule 7 also detailed back at? Could we refer in Mpumalanga to that schedule so that they could see what the money is going to be spent on? And then, in terms of the feasibility studies that you're going to, it's not just where the production is just being conducted. But anyway, surely, I'm not sure what they're asking for there, to be honest. Are they asking for additional money in advance of the main grant to be able to do feasibility studies? I would have thought that the grant would include funding already to do feasibility studies. or they're just saying part of the grant that is for feasibility study should be paid up front to allow for those feasibility studies. I don't really understand, because I don't understand how this grant works.
Thank you for that. What we do in this, we need to go back to the main division of revenue boards, but all the details for all blocks, with the exception of disaster management, which we don't have available at that stage, because we cannot predict in time, because there's a specific disaster management grant that's provided for this board, which is specific dealing with the immediate costs related to disaster, 2 days to 3 months. This can be released by the Minister of Finance and then get the process then sorted out ultimately. The only grant that looks like that is to see the lines of all such stuff. But for all the other grants, including Schedule 7, it's actually contained in detail in the division of revenue board. I just can speak to find the pages. The regional bulk infrastructure grant, and I can maybe give it to the team if it takes a bit long. Yes, no, I've got page by luck. Regional bulk infrastructure grant for Malanga is on page 250 of the division of revenue bulk. Secondly, with regard to the feasibility study, in the past, what happened is we allowed the National Department to actually cut off money for the feasibility studies and own administration, which they then put off to the Western Cape schedule to actually balance the available amount of money. What we did from this year is we tried to actually link that feasibility studies to the project. So I think it's a part of the phase of a learning curve to get that right. But we'll have discussions with them for preparation for the things that budget and actually ask them how we can actually ensure that the feasibility studies are actually being turned into the
Chairman, just no extra money, it's just a matter of making it. Thank you.
Okay. Out of five. Wendy, can you just explain just for my benefit, because I can see Mpumalanga seems to indicate that they did attempt to make a claim of 22 million, but it would appear they followed a wrong procedure. What is the procedure in terms of any disaster? If a province has to access fund or request an assistance, do they go via the local cooperative government, and then the national department will be the one that takes the matter up with national treasurer?
No.
Okay. So in a situation where they just went direct with to yourself, like in the case of Mpumalanga, because it would seem they launched a claim direct with yourself, and in the process they got left out because they did not follow the right procedure. But one would have expected that if they submitted in time, surely it was the responsibility of Treasury to revert back to them and direct them to the right channel. So that...
I haven't had time to read this document.
Because in their submission, the main report, they are saying they submitted a claim to National Treasury in this regard amounting to approximately 22 million. However, it was found that their application by the province did not follow the correct procedure by registering it as provincial treasurer, and they had no knowledge of that particular thing. But I'm just saying so that when we revert back to them, we also give them what is the correct procedure going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the Mpumalanga mandate, page 8.
Engagement regarding the
Page 7, yeah, from page 7. On their report attached to the can we then agree that we will give you that space to do that, and when we deal with the final mandate on Thursday, we sign off on that particular point. All right. Any further comments on Mpumalanga on number? If none, I'll move to the next province, which is Free State. Okay, Free State.
Chair, I'm having the pleasure and the honor to say that the Free State agreed on this Monday. So we are having our support.
Thank you.
Chairperson, on our panel Monday, we must only make sure that a million rand is not being found in somebody's house.
Thank you. I dealt with Mpumalanga, Western Cape, let's take Gauteng. So Gauteng, there's no recommendation they support. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Montisi. Let's take Northern Cape.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The Portfolio Committee on Finance, Economic Development and Tourism met.
Honorable Bloom and Montisi, please.
They complied with the principle of public hearings and held their public hearings on the 10th of November on page 3 of this, of their report. They refer to the committee observations. Point 1, the poor spending patterns of provincial departments and municipalities. Point 2, the rollovers on unspent conditional grants. 3, unclear concurrent functions of provinces and national to-do sometimes have a serious impact on service delivery. Recommendations from the portfolio committee. The departments and municipalities must ensure that the proper skills are attracted to ensure better service delivery improved and improved expenditure patterns. The second bullet, concurrent function, should be explicit to avoid duplication or omission by the relevant departments. The committee adopted this negotiating mandate to be signed by the chairperson on K.D. Malusi. The committee recommends to the House to mandate the permanent delegate to participate in the deliberations at the negotiating stage and support the bill. That is the input from the Northern Cape. That they support the matters mentioned.
Northern Cape also support the proper.
Thanks, Chairperson. Having supported the bill by the province, the committee hereby confer a mandate to NCOC delegates to negotiate in favor of the bill without any amendment.
Limpopo support Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape support the bill of mandate.
Eastern Cape support. May I request Honorable Mazosi to table the KZN? Yes. Oh, you, sorry. No, my apologies. My apologies. Honorable Liz, KZN, I'm very sorry.
Your apologies. Fully accepted.
Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to present this mandate. However, I must point out that I've not been involved in any discussions about it. I'm simply putting a mandate that was given to the Portfolio Committee on Finance, met on Tuesday, the 1st of November 2011, agreed to mandate a parliamentary style delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill.
Thank you very much, Honorable Liz. I forgot it's only Mpumalanga that is not here. And then for Northwest, the Northwest also votes in favor and support the principles and details underlying the Division of Revenue Bill. So Northwest also support. So I think we have covered all the provinces, Honorable Members. So far, it's only those issues raised by Mpumalanga, specifically the one that Wendy will come back to us on, that we'll sign off on Friday when we give it that. We'll also convey that message to Mpumalanga. Now, moving to the next point, Honourable Members, I'm at point four now. Yeah, we are just about to close. We can just say, yeah. Honourable Members, we are on point four, which is the consideration of the table of the first draft. Last week, as you are aware, some of us left KZN to come to the public hearings here. So the meeting went on as planned, and few stakeholders came before us. But we did not. What happened because of time, we could not have enough time as a committee, whether joint or as a single committee, select committee, to engage now on our own as a committee with some of the submissions. I want to propose, Honourable Members, that because this report is only being tabled now, we allow space between now and Thursday for Honourable Members to interact with the document. And then on Thursday, when we deal with the final mandate, we also engage with the report and the bill as it stands, so that we out of that meeting come up with a final report that would cover the views of all members and provinces before the report is tabled in the House on Friday. So that's my proposal, Honourable Members. I'm not sure if we all agree. Agreed? Thank you very much, Honourable Members. So the report will then be dealt in detail on Friday. May I also further request, Honourable Members, that in case you have got some additions you want to make to the report, that be communicated in time, so that we can also circulate such views to other members and make sure that when we meet, at least we don't spend much time on the report itself, because we are going to have limited time on Thursday because of the caucus is in the morning and the afternoon. So that then brings us to the end. Oh, I'm already there.
Sorry, Chairperson, before you close, I just want to sensitize the members, all the members, about our programs for preparation and finance. Our meetings is coming up frequently until the end of the month, so please diarize it, because your presence is needed to correct, to take decisions, to assist us as chairpersons in that case. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Vidya. Perhaps on that note, Honourable Members, you might, if I may just explain, my apologies, you might have seen a number of programs coming in and out, being circulated, but the final program that we have circulated, the original one was indicating that we will adopt every report relating to this budget by the 6th of December. A revised one now, which is final, will be tabling the Division of Revenue Bill this Friday. And then on the 24th, next Friday, we will then be dealing with the Appropriation Adjustment Bill as well as the final report on the MTPS. So I have spoken to the whip from different parties, and we agree that we'll, there won't be any need for debate, but we'll just prepare statements. But just to let you know that we are no longer completing the budget and everything related to that on the 6th of December, as it were, but on the 24th. So the last meeting of the Finance Committee will be on the 30th, when we'll be dealing with those three municipalities that we could not handle in the Northwest. They'll be coming. That will be the last meeting of Finance Committee on the 30th. So, Honourable Member... 23rd. Oh, I'm told it's 23rd.
Just on the issue of the program, I've requested to put out an order to eliminate contact with the local program, because it should be reflected as of today what we're talking about.
Okay.
Well, it's not there yet, but the two groups were reminded us on of a better statement.
Okay.
For people with more
That's the correction, Honourable Members. I'm now advised by the Secretary of Finance Committee that meeting with municipalities is on the 23rd, not the 30th. Meaning our last meeting as Finance Committees in the NCOP will be the 24th, when we table our last report in the House. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Honourable Mudisi?
No, I just wanted to check the committee to receive the information about the recent
because
I kept on receiving messages
about the no, I'm hearing it for the first time.
Me too. Me too. Fine.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry for that. We hear it for the first time. But Honourable Members, thank you very much. There be no further business for the day. This meeting stands again.
Next time you must not put us in a torture. Torture.
I don't know why you find this busy. There are no committees here. No, but not all this room. We can roll some of the rooms we find today.
For the system to be We don't know why.
It's different.